Yasodhanandana Prajajana Janjana Jamuna Chira Panasari Jamuna Chira Panasari Jaya Radha Madhava Punja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bhavatari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bhavatari Yasodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamuna Chira Panasari Jamuna Chira Panasari Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Punja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punja Bihari Asto Tadasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajaka Charja Asto Tadasata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishna Brinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giti Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मान्ये गिरं ते जगतां विमोहिनीम् वरं वृणीष्वेति भजन्तमथायत् वाच्यानुतन्त्यायादि ते जनोऽस्थाः कथं पुनः कर्म करोति मोहितः मन्ये गिरं ते जगतां विमोहिनीम् वरं वृणीष्वेति भजन्तमथायत् वाच्यानुतन्त्यायादि ते जनोऽस्थाः कथं पुनः कर्म करोति मोहितः मन्ये गिरं ते जगतां विमोहिनीम् वरं वृणीष्वेति भजन्तमथायत् वाच्यानुतन्त्यायादि ते जनोऽस्थाः कथं पुनः कर्म करोति मोहितः Manye, I consider Giram words Te your Jagatam to the material world Vimohinim bewildering Varam benediction Branishva just accept Iti in this way Bhajantam unto your devotee Atta you spoke Yat because Vacha by the statements of the Vedas knew certainly Tantya by the ropes Yadi if Te your Jana the people in general Asita not bound Katam how Puna again and again Karma fruitive activities Karoti perform Mohitaha being enamored. My dear Lord, what you have said to your unalloyed devotee is certainly very much bewildering. Vedas are certainly not suitable for pure devotees. People in general, bound by the sweet words of the Vedas, engage themselves again and again in fruitive activities, enamored by the results of their actions. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, the great Acharya of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, has said that persons who are very much attached to the fruit of activities of the Vedas, namely Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, are certainly doomed. In the Vedas, there are three categories of activities, known as Karma Kanda, fruitive activities, Jnana Kanda, philosophical research, and Upasana Kanda, worship of different demigods for receiving material benefits. Those who are engaged in Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda are doomed in the sense that everyone is doomed who is entrapped by this material body, whether it is the body of a demigod, a king, a lower animal, or whatever. The sufferings of the threefold miseries of material nature are the same for all. Cultivation of knowledge to understand one's spiritual position is also, to a certain extent, a waste of time, because the living entity, as an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, his immediate business is to engage himself in devotional service. Prithu Maharaj therefore says that the allurement of material benedictions is another trap to entangle one in this material world. He therefore frankly tells the Lord that the Lord's offerings of benedictions in the form of material facilities are certainly causes for bewilderment. A pure devotee is not at all interested in bhakti or mukti. The Lord sometimes offers benedictions to the neophyte devotees who have not yet understood that material facilities will not make them happy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord therefore says that a sincere devotee who is not very intelligent may ask some material benefit from the Lord, but the Lord, being omniscient, does not generally give material rewards. But on the contrary, takes away whatever material facilities are being enjoyed by his devotee, so that ultimately the devotee will completely surrender unto him. In other words, the offering of benediction in the form of material profit is never auspicious for the devotee. The statements of the Vedas, which offer elevation to heavenly planets in exchange for great sacrifices, are simply bewildering. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pavadyanta vapaschitaha. The less intelligent class, apivaschita, attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas, engage in fruitive activities to become materially benefited. Thus they continue life after life in different bodily forms to search very, very hard. Om Agyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurundilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swaha Patantikam Vande Aham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paddaham Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama I am very grateful for this opportunity to be in this most holy place, Srila Prabhupada's personal office, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, to have this chance to serve you by trying to speak some words on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. We are reading from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, text number 30. Lord Vishnu, being so pleased upon his devotee Prithu Maharaj, is glorifying him and then offering any benediction. When the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the controller of all controllers, the proprietor of everything that exists, who is independent to fulfill his sweet will at all times, offers a benediction, that means everything within all material and spiritual worlds are available to us. Prithu Maharaj is expressing to the Lord that your offering of benediction is simply a bewilderment. For most of us, it would be considered a benediction. He's not considering it a benediction. He's considering it a bewilderment. Offering material facilities? Ultimately, Prithu Maharaj, knowing the nature of this material world, any benediction culminates as a curse unless it helps us to surrender to Krishna. Dukalayam ashashvatam. The nature of this world, it is a place of misery. Maya disguises things as being pleasurable. But deep down within that so-called pleasure is the seat of suffering. Prithu Maharaj asks for one benediction. He asks for the blessing that let me forever be in the association of pure devotees who from their pure hearts are discussing your glories. That's all he wants. In fact, he's so enthusiastic. He's saying, give me 1,000,000 ears so that I can constantly hear your holy names and your holy glories. Now it's interesting because standing close by is Indra, who has eyes all over his body. And that was considered a curse. He has eyes all over his body because he was looking at the wrong things. He had the wrong motivations. But Prithu Maharaj wants ears all over his body. 1,000,000 ears. Where to put 1,000,000 ears? So that he could hear more and more and more and more about Krishna. Rupa Goswami in the same mood, he's praying. When I chant the holy names with my tongue, that name is so sweet, I want many, many tongues. And when that name enters into my ear, I desire millions and millions of ears to taste the nectar of the holy name. And when that name enters into my heart, it conquers my consciousness completely. Srila Prabhupada explains here that when a devotee is sincere, but still, due to previous conditioning, is entrapped to want material things to enjoy, or material positions, then Krishna, out of his kindness, yasyaha managrim nami harishya dabdhanam shana, he may take everything away so that that devotee knows that there's really no other shelter except Krishna, chanting his holy names and hearing his glories. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells, Srameva hi kevalam. Whatever dharma, whatever activities, whatever we may do, if it does not increase our eagerness to hear the glories and the names of Lord Krishna, it is simply a waste of time from the spiritual perspective. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. Because everything else, our health, our wealth, our prestige, our position, our family, what our possessions, our property, everything is less significant than a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. Very soon, it will be swept away by the power of inevitable time. Bhajahur Hari Madahu Niti. Therefore, let me worship Lord Hari, the only thing that is real. This particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is especially instructive in this sense for Vaishnavas. The series of events that led to Prithu Maharaj having the personal darshan of Vishnu and expressing his unalloyed pure devotion. Let us review. Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktivesh avatar, a Jivatma like us, but not like us. He is especially empowered to do the will of the Lord within this world. And he was made the king of the world. He was the most pious. He was spreading pure God consciousness in all directions. But very symbolic, he was born of Maharaj Vena, who happened to be sin personified, who outlawed any spiritual practice totally. Whatever we may think of the Communist Party not being against religion, they are quite favorable compared to Vena Maharaj. He basically said, I'm the king, I'm your god, all mantras must be for me, all yajnas must be for me, all rituals must be for me, and doing it for anyone else or anything else is a federal offense, severely punishable. Even Brahmins, they had to chant Vena's names, otherwise they had to go underground. Ultimately, the Brahmins, just by chanting mantras, killed him. But then there was no king. Actually, things got worse. Because then rogues and thieves, at least he kept them all in order. Because he was such a big rogue and thief, nobody could compete with him. But then all the little rogues and thieves were causing havoc. We need a king. So by their wisdom, they churned Vena's body, and from the sinful body of Vena came Prithu Maharaj. First, all the sins were churned out, and then a Shaktivesh avatar came. This is very symbolic, because throughout history we see how God comes oftentimes in the darkest times, how he appears in the most difficult situations. Krishna didn't appear during a wonderful festival for Vasudeva and Devaki's birthday parties. He appeared when they were shackled with chains in prison and Kamsa had conquered everything with Jarasandha and all these other demons. And Ramchandra, he appeared when all the devatas were telling him the whole universe is in total desperation because Ravana is conquering everything. And Lord Narasingadev didn't appear when Hiranyakashipu was saying, Prahlad, everything you say is so nice. He appeared at the culmination where Hiranyakashipu, after all the tragedies and tortures, he was about to cut off the head of his son. Varahadeva appeared when Hiranyaksha plundered the universe and cast the earth on the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared during this lunar eclipse, which is considered extremely inauspicious, where everyone was crying out the names of Lord Hari just to nullify the reactions. And he began his Sankirtan movement at the time when the Chankazi, as a response to the Chankazi, beating the devotees, imprisoning the devotees, breaking the murdungas of the devotees, and making laws against any public chanting of the holy names. Why does the Lord do this? Because essentially this material world is a place of conflict and tragedy and difficulty. When Gajendra was just roaming around the forest with all of his wives, enjoying like anything, Vishnu was nowhere to be seen. But when he was dying on the verge of death in the jaws of a crocodile where nobody else could save him, and he cried out for the Lord's help by chanting prayers, Lord Vishnu appeared. That is why Kunti Devi, she prays, let the calamities come again and again. We don't have to pray for calamities. But the principle is that in whatever situation, we should be taking shelter of the Lord with our whole heart, by chanting his names, by being eager to hear his glories, to pray for his mercy and that of the Vaishnavas. So Prita was born, and he did many wonderful things, but at a certain point he decided to do 100 Aswamedha Yajnas. Because this was in a previous yuga where performing yajnas was the yuga dharma. It had to be done precisely, precisionly, excellent mantras, excellent procedures, excellent mentality throughout it. If a Brahmin's mind would even deviate from the chanting of the mantras and performing the rituals with a pure heart, then the whole yajna would be spoiled and the whole thing would be considered an aparad, an offense. To perform 100 of such yajnas? Very difficult. There was only one person in the history of the universe that ever did 100 such Aswamedha Yajnas, and that was King Indra. Now Maharaj Prithu, he didn't want any prestige. He wanted to do it to invoke auspiciousness for the whole world, for all of his citizens, to empower him to serve better. Now, in those days, these who could do the most yajnas was more competitive than the cricket match between India and Pakistan, at least in Indra's eyes. It was impossible. Indra had the world record. He did not want that world record to be broken. I remember many, many years ago, there was a record in baseball of Babe Ruth hitting the most home runs. And then somebody named Roger Maris from the same team beat the record. And Babe Ruth's wife was furious. He was dead, so it... We don't like anybody to break our records. That's material consciousness. It's our prestige. That's how we live. So Indra couldn't tolerate. Prithu Maharaj performed 99 yajnas. And he was about to perform the 100th, and Indra disguised himself as a sadhu, as a religious sannyasi type person, and stole the horse. The horse, when it's put through sacrifice, it's an old horse and it's given a brand new healthy young body. That's the power of mantra. So Atri Muni, he saw this. He said,
The horse is stolen by Indra. So Prithu Maharaj's son, he was very powerful. He chased after Indra, and Indra ran away. And ultimately, when he drew his bow back to kill him, Indra made himself like a sadhu. He said, I can't kill a sadhu. And Natri Muni said, you should kill him. He's a rascal. He's not a sadhu. So then he pulled his bow, and Indra left the horse and disappeared. They brought the horse back, was about to do the yajna again, and Indra, again, in a different disguise, stole him. And the same thing happened several times. Finally, Prithu Maharaj, as the king, wanted to do justice to this rascal. Well, Indra's not a rascal, he's a worshipable Vaishnav, but sometimes Krishna puts him in this role to teach us good lessons. So here we have Prithu Maharaj is about to punish Indra. At that point, Brahma comes. And Brahma says, why are you shouldn't be so attached to this 100 yajnas. Let Indra have the record. Stop doing these yajnas. It's better for everybody. This conflict between leaders is very difficult. They're both leaders. There's the king of the heavens and the king of the earth. From Krishna's perspective, it's like two GBC zones. He has the heaven zone, he has the earth zone. They're both kings, both in very high positions. And they're having a quarrel. And Indra accepts that I will not harm him, and I will not perform any more yajnas. That means he was giving up. He would have not done 100, he would have done 101 and got the world record, the universe record. But he stopped. He put the higher principle of harmony in front of his own personal aspiration, or his own personal historical landmark within world history. Because Indra gave up doing the yajna, the whole purpose of the yajna, to have darshan of Vishnu, Vishnu came. People do yajna after yajna to try to see Vishnu, and he stopped the yajna for a higher purpose, and Vishnu came and praised Indra. Praised him for giving up the possibility for world prestige for the higher purpose of cooperation. And wherever there was not cooperation, every time Indra was creating different irreligious sects. This is symbolic too. When spiritual leaders are not really united for the higher principles, from that, all sorts of deviations start coming on the sides. Indra came with Lord Vishnu. Now, this is a very important part of the story, so please, if you're sleeping, I request you wake up at least for these few moments. Indra came with Vishnu. And because he heard Vishnu's words of glorifying Prithu, Vishnu wasn't saying a word or anything good about Indra, and he had the record. But he was glorifying Prithu Maharaj because he made a sacrifice of his own prestige for the higher principle. And seeing this and hearing this, Indra became totally ashamed. Because after all, Indra is a great devotee. He may not be a Paramhamsa, he may be a Karma Mishra Vaishnav, but he's a Vaishnav. He has huge responsibilities. He's ruling over the heavenly planets and ruling over the power of rain. And he's been given that service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other such scriptures as Srimad Bhagavatam, when he performs yajnas, Vishnu comes personally and speaks to him and empowers him. Although he's a Vaishnav, somehow or other, he has his conditionings. He has his bad habits sometimes. But in his heart, he's ashamed. When he sent showers of rains to Govardhan, in the end, he became extremely ashamed of what he did. He begged forgiveness. So here Indra, from his heart of hearts, is really feeling that he made a terrible offense. And he's going to bow his head at the feet of Maharaj Prithu. Because he knows when you offend a Vaishnav, Krishna will not forgive you until you genuinely from your heart beg forgiveness from the Vaishnav that you offended. But as he was about to fall down at the feet of Prithu Maharaj was so humble. This is the king of heaven. He caught Indra Maharaj and embraced him with love. Now this is the part that Srila Prabhupada speaks such a divine secret. Are you ready? This is from verse 18 of this chapter, Prabhupada's purport. Both Indra decided to fall down at the lotus feet of King Prithu, but the king was so magnanimous a Vaishnav that he did not want Maharaj Indra to fall down at his feet, like Ambarish Maharaj. Instead, Prithu Maharaj immediately picked him up and embraced him. Now listen to this. And both of them forgot all past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. This is interesting. Whatever you wear, if you're fighting perpetually and envious, according to this definition, we're not Vaishnavas. This is Prabhupada's definition of a Vaishnava. To overcome envy. Prabhupada continues, there is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is showing the spirit of a Vaishnav. Naturally, in this world, there will be difficulties. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita that the demons of Vrindavan represent various obstacles in the path of pure devotional service. One demon appeared as a forest fire. After Krishna danced on Kaliya's hoods, such a beautiful performance, and Kaliya surrendered due to the mercy of his wives, then the Brijavasis just wanted to spend the night with Krishna. So Krishna said, all right, let us sleep in the forest together. Can you imagine what a blessing that is? Usually Krishna's just in the house of Nanda and Yashoda, and all the gopas are in separation and all the gopis are in separation till he comes out. But on this night, he's just sleeping there in the forest with everyone, all the cows, all the calves, all the gopas, all the gopis of all ages. It was a beautiful night. And then in the middle of the night, massive forest fire. It was a demoniac forest fire. This forest was reaching the clouds. Usually clouds, you need clouds to extinguish a forest fire. Well, this forest was burning all the clouds. So there was no hope. It was like a wall. So the Brijavasis, in desperation, helplessness, they cried, Krishna, save us. And Krishna, that's all. For Krishna, that's all a forest fire is. Didn't even say it was a pranayam type inhale. He just like, and the whole fire went into his mouth and never came out. You know, you see these fire eaters, whenever they eat fire, it has to come out, otherwise they die. But Krishna just went in and never came out. It was a beautiful night again. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that that forest fire represents intercommunal conflict between Vaishnavas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the same thing to Prabhupada when they were on the banks of Radhakund. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we worked so hard, we built this Bagh Bazar, Gaudiya Math, and now the devotees are fighting each other over position, prestige, facilities, whose office is whose. He was very disturbed. He said to Prabhupada, better we just take all the marble off and use it to publish and distribute books. If ever you get money, publish and distribute books. This was on the banks of the holiest of all holy places in the entire universe, Radhakund. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, there is fire in the mat. Those words. There is fire in the mat. When there is envy and unhealthy competition between devotees, it is fire. And a fire is not quickly under the control. It can be absolutely devastating. So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, what is a Vaishnav? Even if devotees become angry and envious with one another. And interestingly, Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj was envious and angry at Indra, even though he's a Shaktivesh avatar and great king. They were both envious and angry with each other. The problem is not that these things happen. The problem is we don't make the right solution. The solution is uniting on a higher principle. And Prabhupada explains, what is a Vaishnav? When two Vaishnavas get in such a situation, he said, through the process of applying Krishna consciousness, we adjust rivalry, competition, and envy. We adjust without difficulty. Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. And actually, these difficulties that may come between us are meant to bring us to a higher principle. We have already discussed how Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Ram and all the avatars come when there's a lot of difficulty and conflict. We were talking about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this important instruction about how fighting amongst Vaishnavas, unhealthy competition and envy is like fire. He said it on the banks of Radhakund. Today is Bahulashtami, the appearance day of Sri Radhakund. And the whole story is based around this principle. May I briefly tell? It begins with, doesn't begin with the Rasa dance. Begins with Aristasura. Aristasura is really one of the worst demons that this world has ever seen. He's a gigantic bull. The hump on his back is like a mountain hovering in the clouds. Can you imagine a bull that size? And he's a demon. He's coming to destroy Krishna, to destroy all the residents of Vrindavan, to destroy all of Vrindavan. That's his motivation. He's galloping into Brajbhumi. There's earthquakes. Women who are pregnant are having miscarriages. Everyone's shrieking in fear. And Krishna stands before him and challenges him. Little cowherd boy, Aristasura, his eyes are red with anger, from his nose snorting out burning hot fumes. He charges directly toward Krishna. Krishna grabs him by the horns and throws him down. Aristasura is even more angry and charged with more wrath and envy. And ultimately Krishna again threw him down and kicked him with his soft little lotus feet, the same lotus feet that Mother Yashoda was always crying what pain he will feel if he steps on a pebble. Aristasura was dead. So in that place, Krishna had come there to meet the gopis. And the gopis said, "We will not dance with you. You killed a male cow. This is sinful." Krishna said, "But he was a demon. He would have killed all of us." He said, "That's a detail. But the fact is, you killed a male cow. Therefore, there is sin. You must take your bath in all the holy places in the universe to atone for this sin." Krishna smiled. "No problem." He said, "I will call all the holy places here. Why should I leave Vrindavan?" And with his lotus-like foot, he stomped it in the ground and made an imprint with his heel. This is how he excavated Shamakund. Then he called all the holy places, and the Ganga and the Yamuna and the Godavari and the Bhagavati and all the rivers came with folded hands, and Krishna said, "Fill my kund." And there it was, Shamakund. All the tirthas of the universe were present. And Krishna took his bath. Then he came out and said to Srimati Radharani and gopis, "Now I have such a good kund. What kind of kund do you have to bathe in? Why don't you come and bathe in my kund? After all, you sided with the demon." And Srimati Radharani replied, "We will not bathe in your kund because it is contaminated by the killing of a male cow. We will make our own kund." Now this is a very, very interesting part of the story. Please wake up for a moment. Radharani and the gopis approached the hoof prints of Aristasura. The hoof prints of a demon. And they broke their bangles and started digging into those hoof prints of Aristasura to make it bigger. But that was the basis, that was the foundation, Aristasura's footprints.
And then Srimati Radharani told her thousands and thousands of gopis, make a line to the pure waters of Manasi Ganga and we'll pass the buckets of that water and fill my kund. So they were doing. But Krishna did not like to see Srimati Radharani and gopis working so hard. So he looked at the personified holy places in Shyamakund, and they all approached. The personified all holy places approached Srimati Radharani with tears in his eyes and folded palms. He said, you are the beloved supreme goddess of all devotion. Krishna himself, his goal and only purpose in life is only to please you. We ask you, kindly make our life perfect by give us one benediction. She looked at Krishna and said, what benediction would you like? And they said, he said, allow us to fill your kund. So Srimati Radharani looked at Krishna, understanding this would make him happy, and she said, please come. And the waters of Shyamakund overflooded and flowed into Sri Radha Kund. And when Krishna saw it, he said, this is the most beautiful in all holy places in all creation. In fact, as much as you, Srimati Radharani, is dear to me, similarly your kund, Radha Kund, is dear to me. And then Krishna bathed in Radha Kund. And from that day on, every day in Vrindavan, in the afternoon, Radha and Krishna performed for many hours the most confidential of all their pastimes on the bank of Sri Radha Kund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna in the mood of Radha, when he went to Vrindavan, he was especially searching for Sri Radha Kund. And he came to a village called Aristagram, which means the village of Aristasura. And there he saw two little ponds in a paddy field. Two little ponds. And he recognized it. Nobody understood where it was. It was lost completely to everyone in the world. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed there in ecstasy and took the clay and placed it on the 12 parts of his body as tilak and then carried some of it with him to take wherever he went. And he proclaimed that anyone who takes this bath with proper consciousness in Radha Kund is going to achieve the same type of love of Srimati Radharani. It is not filled simply with water. It is filled with the love of Sri Radha for Krishna. At midnight tonight, there will be hundreds and thousands of Brijabasis, and mixed in them, getting crushed all over the place, will be some ISKCON devotees also, taking their bath in Sri Radha Kund. Very auspicious. And ultimately, Raghunath Das Goswami, with the blessings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, was given residence on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Now it's interesting. Raghunath Das Goswami was the Prayojana Acharya of our Sampradaya, representing the highest realizations of the gopis' love for Krishna. He wrote the highest literatures also, along with Rupa and Sanatan, in this regard. Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show us the qualities of Raghunath Das Goswami, why he gave him that benediction of that high realization. Raghunath Das Goswami was so absolutely humble. First of all,
He had a beautiful wife, like an angel. He was the sole heir of an estate worth millions and millions of dollars. And he left it all because he wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And when he went to Panihati, he was so humble he would not approach Nityananda directly. He offered obeisances from a distance. And one of the devotees said, "Lord Nityananda, there's Raghunath from a distance." And Nityananda said, "You are like a thief keeping a distance from me. Your punishment is feed everyone dahi and chira." And he served all the Vaishnavas. And then the next day, he didn't approach Lord Nityananda directly. He approached Raghava Pandit. And Raghava Pandit told Lord Nityananda that Raghunath Das Goswami understands no one can approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. He's begging for your mercy so that he can be free of material life and attain your loving the service of Lord Chaitanya. He wouldn't approach him directly. He went through another devotee. And Nityananda was so pleased. He placed his feet on Raghunath's head and told him, "Soon you will escape from material life and be Lord Chaitanya's assistant of his secretary." After that blessing, Raghunath Das Goswami, as we know, he escaped from home. 12 days he walked through the jungles to Puri. He had such determination. There was nothing that could stop him. He only ate 3 or 4 times. And when he finally came to Puri, Lord Chaitanya, he offered obeisances from a distance. And Mukunda said, "There is Raghunath." And then Lord Chaitanya went over to Raghunath and literally picked him up and embraced him. This is very, very interesting. Throughout Raghunath's life, he never spoke to Lord Chaitanya. Whenever he had something to say, he would say it through Swarup Damodar Goswami to present to him, because he was too humble. He felt himself too undeserving. It's not that Raghunath Das Goswami just went up to Lord Chaitanya and embraced him and said, "I want to be a gopi and live at Radhakund." No, he considered himself the most fallen, the most condemned, the lowest. That was his prayers. The most sinful, the most abominable. This is the way he's talking about himself. And in every occasion, he doesn't want anything for himself. He feels himself undeserving. And a devotee notices him. And then a devotee informs the Lord. And then the Lord comes and picks him up. That's the process of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. If we want to attain Prayojana, we have to follow Raghunath Das Goswami's footsteps. And then Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to give gifts to Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Nityananda, and all the devotees in Panihati. He gave all the money to Raghava Pandit and said, "Don't give anything away till I leave." He was always in this mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. And because Lord Chaitanya noticed that mood and Lord Nityananda noticed that mood, they picked him up. Because he was in that mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spontaneously gave him his Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala. And in doing so, he gave Raghunath eternal residence at Radhakund and the service of the lotus feet of Sri Radharani. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they told you can't barge into Krishna's leelas. Prayojana Acharya means we have to follow in his footsteps, and this is how he did it. He just aspired to be a servant of a servant of a servant. He always felt himself completely undeserving, and because of that total humility, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya kept coming to him and picking him up and giving him everything. And there on the banks of Radhakund, on the order of Rupa and Sanatana, he spoke Lord Chaitanya's pastimes for 3 hours every day. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was there every day for class. He was like Prithu Maharaj, like he had a million ears. He was listening. And everything he heard, he wrote down for the world under the instruction of the Vaishnavas. He also considered himself totally unqualified. The devotees had to order him to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And even after all those orders, he went to get the blessings of the Lord. This is our acharyas. Srila Prabhupada was ordered by his Guru Maharaj to go to the West and spread Mahaprabhu's teachings. And on Jaladutta, in his diary, we understand the same principle that is the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami, Prabhupada is saying that I am so far from Vrindavan. This is after his heart attacks on the Arabian Sea. So far I am from Vrindavan and my lords, Govinda, Gopinath, and Radha Damodar. But I am here because my Guru Maharaj has given me this order to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It was Lord Chaitanya's order. And Prabhupada said, I am not qualified. I have no power to do this. I am simply depending on their mercy so far from Vrindavan. And then he writes, in this situation, so far from Vrindavan, heart attacks and everything else, my only solace is the nectarine pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where Chaitanya Charitamrita was written, where Raghunath Das Goswami personally exhibited the qualities of attaining perfection, at Sri Radhakund, that is where Prabhupada got his order. Confirmation of his order in a very powerful way from his Gurudev. And please understand that the holiest of all holy places, it began as the hoofprint of a malicious, envious, murderous demon. Why Radharani? She could have dug anywhere. Why she chose Aristasura's contaminated footprints? This world is all like Aristasura's footprint one way or another. Even the most difficult situations, bhakti is about transforming. And specifically in this story, transforming the conflict, the envy, and the anger between devotees, which may be totally justified. In this story, it was totally justified for Prithu Maharaj, to hate Indra. But they became brothers. Why? Because they're Vaishnavas. They adjusted. Somehow or other. This is Prabhupada's lesson in these verses. And when we do so, the Lord is so pleased. Adanamna janamna sundaram kavitam vajagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoiti. This is what pleases the Lord.
I just want to serve you. I do not want wealth or women or even liberation or even fame or prestige or position. I only want to be the servant of the servant of your servant. When we truly aspire that and somehow or other adjust our relationships on that level, Krishna will give us that intense desire, that unadulterated taste to hear his glories and chant his holy names. Prabhupada ki jai.